All right, and welcome to a live edition of Rebel with a Cause. I am your host, Eric, and joining me this evening, Alex Hatch and her sister, which I didn't catch her name, Barbara. There she is. How you going, guys?
Yep. Hey, Eric, how are you?
Doing fabtabulous.
Nice. Awesome. So,
glad you were able to come on.
I didn't realize you were going to go live with this.
I just decided last moment just to do it. So.
All right. Cool. I love it.
I've had marginal success with going live before, so just figured I'd try it again. So
where, what platforms is it going live on?
Just YouTube right now. So.
Okay.
Or cool. Themtube, as Corbett likes to call it.
Themtube. Yep.
So Barbara, I haven't been introduced to you.
Yeah. Well, I'm the other host of Parenting Trap, and I'm not much on Twitter.
She's my sister.
So I am Alex's sister. That's correct.
Yep.
And I'm not as active on the social media as Alex is. I avoid.
You don't have as much time.
Sure.
She has like a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. So
yes.
Yeah.
Well, good. It's a bad habit to break. So. Cam Harless coming in here buttering my biscuit already. So we got this one. Rebel with a Cause, more like Cutie with a Cause. Thanks, honey britches.
Where do you see the chat?
On the side of StreamYard, it should be there. Yes. Otherwise, yeah.
All right, awesome. Hi, Cam.
Good old Cam. Cam's buddy around here. So We like to mess with Cam because he let old Samwise Gamgee borrow his motorcycle, and Gamgee dropped it. Good old Sean Astin. So fuck Sean Astin.
Uh-oh.
I have no idea what that means. Was that code for something, or did someone literally drop a motorcycle?
Yeah Sean like, Astin, the guy who played Sam Gamgee in the Lord of the Rings, dropped his motorcycle and then tried to pretend like he didn't drop it.
Uh-oh. I didn't see that. Okay. Okay, I'm a little bit slow, so sometimes I'll ask for explanations.
That's okay. I can talk slow, Jenny. So, you guys have a parenting podcast and YouTube channel and everything. I think I was like looking at some clips earlier. So, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody about that?
Okay. We have a podcast called Parenting Trap and a YouTube channel. Parenting Trap, and we talk about respectful parenting. So Barbara and I have a very radical philosophy about parenting. Actually, I think both of us, but definitely me, I'm very radical in almost all aspects of life and all my philosophy, and it just bled over into parenting. And so like in our philosophy, we don't believe in any punishments or rewards, and we believe in treating people with respect and recognizing where their limitations are and kind of meeting them where they're at. So meeting children where they're at and recognizing that their brains are not developed enough to be rational, and figuring out how to deal with that respectfully.
I totally understand that. I do the same thing in my house, although there are times where I have to recognize that old daddy is about to start yelling at the top of his lungs, and you know, I have to like check myself sometimes. But it's a tough gig. It's a tough gig because the automatic thing that happens in the back of your mind is, you know, if I spank this kid, they'll shut up, right? But that never works forever.
No, it doesn't. It makes it worse. And the yelling and the you getting to the breaking point is a good signal that there's something else you could have done earlier on to prevent that from happening. And so what we like to say is, hey, recognize that and use that as a moment to go like, okay, this is an opportunity for me to learn, not to teach my child a lesson, but for me to learn from this experience and figure out how to better set them up for success and myself up for success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a long, tough road. I've got two kids that I've adopted out of foster care and everything, so their own special issues anyways. With my son, he likes to poke and prod, and he knows where my buttons are, and he likes to push them and everything else. And then, you know, sometimes they'll just have to call it out. I was like, why are you button pushing right now? You know, this isn't going to end the way you want it to. You know, you're not going to get an extra hour of TV time if you just keep doing this. I'm just going to end up getting mad, and we're both going to get mad at each other. So why even do this? You know?
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, our children, they get frustrated so easily, and we're the ones that they tend to take it out on, and they know what our buttons are for sure. I mean, they know us better than we do sometimes, but it's also, like we're really all they have. So, and they don't get to choose. Like, yeah, I think you said that, once, and I think it's a good point. They don't get to choose to like, they're kind of stuck with us, you know? They're living in our home and we're kind of like their roommates. And
but oh, hold on. Did you just say that you adopted your kids?
Yeah.
That makes it particularly difficult because what happens is then you're dealing with a child who already has abandonment issues. So I think even biological children are going to test boundaries.
Yeah.
But kids that have abandonment issues are going to test them even more. So it's so much harder. That's amazing that you're doing that. That's so awesome.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Yeah, my son was 6 when we adopted him. So he had already been through 8 different placements by the time we got him.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, that must be
and
so hard.
That one was rough. And my daughter, we got her like 2 months after she left the hospital. So she was born drug exposed. So there was like all different other kinds of stuff going on with that as well. She knows that she's got daddy wrapped around her little finger sometimes. And sometimes it's like, it's like, oh God, I got to recognize that she's manipulating me already.
No, don't think that. Don't think that. That is actually like a negative connotation for a child's behavior. So I would say anytime you think that my child is manipulating me is a good indication that there's something else going on. They're trying to communicate something to you. And we should look at that in the most positive light, or at least neutral light as possible, and figure out what the root cause is. Because once we put a negative connotation on it, then our reaction becomes more authoritarian. Yeah. Like it becomes less empathetic.
Also, when we know that we can do something, like if we know we could do something that's going to help us get what we want, we're going to do that. So, you know what?
Right. It's like natural.
It's totally
like she's
natural.
She's just learning how cause and effect of the world. Yeah. She's like, oh, when I do this, I get what I want.
Get what I want.
So it's like, you can't fault her for fucking learning.
And you know, young kids are super impulsive and they want things all the time, and they don't realize that what they want can sometimes have these other effects on other people. So, you know, they have no ill intention. It's just that they're like, great, I can get what I want this way. And they're going to keep doing that.
Yes.
If they can successfully.
I noticed Garbage Mean said, love y'all. Hi. Oh, and Masha's there. Hi.
Yep. Cool. He's got the Randy Savage thing going on. So, you know, oh yeah. And then, of course, Masha, you know, I have to say Dobrый вечер, Masha. So,
do you speak Russian?
I am trying to learn, so I probably sound like a little child when I say it. So,
what is sparking that curiosity? Like, why are you deciding to learn Russian now?
Oh, God. You know, you download the Duolingo app, and then you just start going to town on it. And it was like, oh, they got Russian? Oh, I'll start learning Russian. You know,
that's awesome.
Arabic? Why not?
I want to do Spanish, but only because I have like some experience with Spanish.
Yeah. Spanish was the first thing I learned. Unfortunately, I learned a whole bunch of dirty street Spanish, you know, growing up in South Houston. So it's like all the cuss words and everything. And you had to get real intent when you were hearing your Spanish buddies starting to talk. And if they mentioned the word madre, you had to really listen in close. It's like, oh, they're talking about my mama.
Oh no. Yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
So it's just like one of those things. Let's just pick up a hobby and start doing it. But I have fun with it sometimes. Sometimes. Gets really fun when a 4-year-old starts watching videos on the on YouTube and half of them are in Russian. So I'm like listening.
Oh, like, wow.
Yeah, she like watches this one called Nastia, and I am fairly certain that she is just the meal ticket for uncle. So it's just kind of weird. Some of those kids' videos on here are just way out of bounds. You're just like looking at it's like, oh, this is like trying to get my kid to buy a whole bunch of toys that she doesn't need.
Oh my God, those YouTube videos are awful.
Mm-hmm.
They're so bad. Yeah. And what's funny is they've gotten better. When my kids were younger, I could not leave them with YouTube and the kid filter on, because the way that the algorithm worked was it only like filtered something inappropriate if enough people flagged it. And for some reason, like there were a bunch of trolls who thought it would be hilarious to put like pornography and shit on children's programming. So the like thumbnail would look like Spider-Man or like Elsa from Frozen, and you click on it and it would be something super inappropriate. So, right. So yeah, I mean, I love the fact that like so many people can create content now and reach lots of people, but it's pretty disgusting what has happened in that space.
Yeah, there for a little while, it was, we've got like this crappy animation with Elsa and like most of the things, she's running around and then all of a sudden she falls down and breaks her head open. And you're like, why is this even here? You know,
that's so bizarre. Yeah,
yeah, they're just kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah. There was one time my kid, and so this is just a difference in like the times that we live in right now. Because one day my kid was like, I want to watch a video about ponies and apples. And I was like, I don't even know if that exists, but whatever, I'll look it up. And you can just type in ponies with apples on YouTube and something came up and it looked innocent enough. And so I clicked on it and it was My Little Pony, like there's an apple pony. Yeah. And it was like him saying like, fuck these apples, I need fucking apples. Like it was just saying like fucking apples like so many times. And I was like, oh shit. And I turned it off. But it's just interesting that like whatever pops into their brain as something they want to see probably exists already.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow. Yeah. That's so bizarre.
Isn't that scary?
Yeah. So we got a question here from Masha. Question for Alex and Barbara. What's the biggest lesson from respectful parenting that you've taken to your adult relationships? That's a really good one, actually.
Yeah.
That is a great one.
I would say for me it was empathy, like being able to communicate with empathy. So kind of empathizing with the other person first and working hard to recognize when I'm triggered. So if I'm like, okay, I'm triggered by this, and if I respond in a triggered way, then they'll be triggered back and it will end in a fight. So yeah. if I feel emotion, I'm like, okay, well, I'm triggered. I need to take a break. Or I'm kind of good at it now that I can say like, okay, I'm triggered, but I can breathe through it. Hey, I'm triggered right now, but I can see that you're asking this because you're worried about me or because you're worried about this, something like that. So you empathize with the other person's position, and that's super hard to do when you feel like you're being attacked.
Yeah, definitely. And similarly, I think one of the things that that we say a lot with kids is children do well when they can. And that doesn't just extend to children alone. Like we all do well when we can. So when other people are doing things that I think might be, you know, strangers or even friends, but you go in and they're like, wow, that person was really rude. And where in the past you might be like, you know, screw that person. Now I'm kind of more like, well, I don't know what their day is looking like. Maybe they cut me off because, you know, they're trying to get to the hospital, or maybe they're having a really bad day too. So I try and like same thing. It's empathy. It's you're trying to realize that they're doing well when they can, but we all have our hard days and we make mistakes and we do things that we're not too proud of at times. And I think we all deserve some grace and forgiveness when that happens.
Yep.
True. Yeah. The ratchet effect, I think, is what we're looking for there. So when you start getting a little aggro yourself, and then you notice that the kids and your significant other are starting to get aggro right back, and then we're all playing this little game of who's going to try and top the other, and then it can just, you know, boil over eventually. So.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
It's so never true. A fun day in the house when that happens. Let me tell you.
No, it's not. Harder, and it's so hard, and it's really hard because I feel like a lot of parents do that, and then they use the kids as a scapegoat. And I think it would be better if we recognize that it's actually us, right? We have control over our own emotions. We're the only people we have control over. We don't have control over anyone else. So if we start taking responsibility for ourselves, then we can start actually making change to make things better. But if we start blaming something on someone else, then we're just making the problem worse.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a tough thing because, you know, every day is going to be a little bit different from the previous day. And some days you think you got it licked, and then the next day you're going to get blindsided by something. And then all of a sudden you're just like, oh, okay, I need to take a moment. Let me chill for a second and we'll come back in and try to handle this situation again. So yeah, it's a tough job. Parenting is not for everybody. That's definitely true. So
it's very hard. It's so hard, but it's like an amazing, it's such an amazing experience. We weren't raised in this way. And I mean, it changed my life. Like I kind of wish it had happened to me sooner.
because then I would have like gotten more responsible sooner.
Oh yeah, I kind of fear though that if I had started parenting sooner, I wouldn't have necessarily put the time and effort into finding respectful parenting. Maybe 10 years ago myself would have done more to try and research that, but I'm not sure. I don't think I was necessarily mature enough myself to recognize that I might be making these big mistakes and try and look for alternative ways to sort of help myself and my children.
So I disagree with you there because we were raised in a very authoritarian household where our parents spanked us. And we were expected to like be seen and not heard and follow the rules, all that shit. Mm-hmm. So when I had my baby, I remember thinking like I was pregnant and I remember being like, okay, so like when do I start implementing punishment? Because everyone's like, oh, you can't punish a baby, right? Like a 3-month old doesn't know when it does this, like it's hitting you and that's wrong. I mean, there are actually people out there who say that you should like hurt babies physically.
I've read horrible stories of that.
So my thing was like, okay, well then when does it start? So if it doesn't start a baby, when does it start? And no one could give me a good answer. There was no clear answer. It was just like, oh, you'll know.
Yeah.
And for me, I need something more objective. Like that doesn't work for me. So
yeah, unfortunately, they don't come with an instruction manual. You know,
they don't. And so the only reason I found this philosophy was because like that resonated with me. I gave birth to my first son and I saw how innocent and like dependent he was. And I realized I had this life, this human life depending on me for his survival. It was so big, so important. Mm-hmm. And then I did everything I could to do the best job I could to help raise him. Right. Like
what everyone does though.
Right. And it was social media. It was Facebook that helped me find this other, cause I wouldn't have known otherwise. Yeah. Cause normally you like go to your upbringing, friends, family, mm-hmm. right. You don't know where to look to for help. Maybe some books.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Occasionally the book will be, there's some books out there that are pretty good. And then others are just, it's like, you could tell it's like the person who wrote this doesn't have kids.
Yeah.
You know, they don't really
some really bad advice.
Or they had kids that were very easy. There's a lot of people out there that had kids that don't have special needs and they're like, oh, you just need to do this. And it's like, no, that shit does not work on difficult kids. It doesn't. Yeah. And I was a difficult kid. My mom used to brag about the fact that I would scream so hard and throw the biggest temper tantrums and I would burst blood vessels in my eyes. I would get so mad and she would be proud of the fact that she would hold her line and spank me. And like, I don't know. I still feel like I'm suffering from psychological consequences from that today.
Probably are, yeah.
Right. And like, I'm a very extreme person. If you know me, I'm very radical in all my views. So it's like, I don't know.
I can definitely touch on that. I was raised with a bunch of Sicilians. So the yelling was just a matter of fact, that just happened. And they could have been saying some of the sweetest stuff, but it's always got to be up here and we're using our hands. And yeah, it's a little much for a little kid to take in sometimes.
Yes.
Let's see. Respectful parenting is instilling freedom into kids, help them learn autonomy so that they demand autonomy. That was a great comment there, Wyatt. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I agree entirely. Absolutely.
sorry. We're laughing because that's Barbara's husband.
Definitely my husband right there. So I'm really
my
lucky.
My brother-in-law. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Wyatt. We agree.
I am lucky enough to have somebody that believes in this philosophy. A lot of partners, a lot of people there don't have partners that do. But, I think if you can get behind valuing autonomy, then you can see why it would be important to treat a child in a way that respects their individuality. So I think that that's just really, really a perfect place to start when you think about it.
And this is the radical part, is it can start at birth. Because people don't realize that babies can communicate and babies can understand. So automatically, you have a newborn that just came out and you're thinking like, okay, I have to take care of this thing until it can like think for itself and rationalize and blah, 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 blah. Once you start that thought process, that's not good. Don't just think the minute they come out, they understand what you're saying and you treat them like they can. Mm-hmm. And they might not be able to understand what you're saying, but if you treat them like that, they'll be able to understand it sooner. And right. It's better because they will understand it before you realize they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, especially, you know, I remember when my daughter first came home to us, you know, she was, you know, 2 months old at that point. The sponge has already started to soak up so much around, you know, because you see their eyes just kind of looking around and, you know, they're reaching out and touching things already. And so they're picking up all those clues that you may be dropping. You're subconsciously probably not aware of it. But, you know, once they notice that it's like, oh, if I cry right now when my diaper is full, the big ones come and they change the diaper and then I'm dry again. All right, let's give this a try, you know, so. Mm-hmm. You can see them putting stuff together sometimes. It's on a very rudimentary level, but I mean, you can at least see the wheels spinning in there. So,
oh, yeah. Which is why we wouldn't say that you should ever look at a child's behavior as manipulative, because it's all learning. Right?
I say that like half joking, but I mean, like the other half of that. Kind of
serious. She's going to keep bringing it up. She's going to keep bringing it up.
I'm going to keep bringing it up because you say that you're joking, but that is a very common misconception that lots of people have.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I get it. I get it. You know, I can't wait until she's 12 and really, really putting the screws to daddy. So,
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. All she's going to do is just bat those eyelids and just say, daddy, please. And then daddy's going to say, oh, okay. How much is it going to cost?
How much is even that you are responsible for the relationship you're building with her right now?
No, I totally get that. You know, I have a girl in the house. I've accepted my mission, you know. So.
Oh. No. Oh, no. Oh, there's too much to unpack.
I've triggered Alex. Now we're going to start that ratcheting effect that I was talking about earlier. By the end of this, she's going to be standing up and shouting, like, right into the microphone.
Definitely not.
Great. No. Okay.
She'll be sitting and yelling directly into the microphone. Yeah.
Barbara over there is gonna keep her.
It's fucking hot in here.
It is warm in here.
It's like we're in the garage and the door's open and we have a very tiny fan.
A little tiny fan, not really blowing the air around too much. I'm in southern Louisiana, so I think I got you beat on heat. So
that's true, but you might be sitting in a place with air conditioning.
Yeah, I don't have it on right now. You know
what?
Microphones, background noise, and everything else. I barely have a fan moving, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's the same reason we don't have it on right here is because it's a little loud. So
you win.
You do win. You win. But you know, I understand in Louisiana it's humid, but here in California it's not right now. But we get over 100. We had like 110 degree day a couple weeks ago. So I don't think you get 110.
Yeah. Just I would rather 110 and dry.
I agree. We live in the humidity.
90 humid. Yeah.
We live in the humidity for a while.
Yeah, that, one of the things I miss growing up in Nevada was just the heat. And when you started to sweat, like the heat took the sweat away and then you were cooled off. It was amazing.
Wait, where did you grow up in Nevada?
Oh, right outside Reno in a little place called Sun Valley, which is the largest amalgamation of trailer parks in the known universe. So everywhere you look in Sun Valley, it's nothing but double wides and single wides.
Awesome. Yeah. Yes. I lived in a trailer park for a while in Silicon Valley, California, because I wanted to save money and everything there is so expensive. Yeah,
that still wasn't cheap.
It wasn't.
Even but then, it was like $3.5 million.
It was not that, but I do have to say, after living there for, how long did we live there? Let's see.
2 years?
I was pregnant with Robin and we moved out when Jamie was almost 5. So, like 4 or 5 years, almost 4 years. Yeah. We sold it at a profit.
Wow. That's good.
I've heard there's nowhere else in the country where you can sell like a trailer home
on a profit
It's not, normally
you're going to do it for a loss. Yeah.
Yep. Not in Silicon Valley.
Nope. Out here in Louisiana, you know, my parents had a double wide there for a long time. And when they sold it for like, it's like a $10,000 loss, which on a trailer is
huge. That's great. No, 10,000. Is it huge? That sounds like a great deal from coming from California. Is that too, that's a big loss.
Oh yeah. That's a huge loss. The trailer itself only cost 60 grand. So
I'm sorry. They like here they start at like 200. And so it's hard to think No, okay.
I think it's just Jesus. It's time to move, Alex.
Yeah, right. I know. Oh yes. My God.
Gotta get out.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. My mind is blown right now.
Yeah, $300,000 down here in Louisiana would get you a McMansion and about 2 acres of land. So.
I think $300,000 here can't get you a trailer. Like they've gone up so much since I sold that one.
It couldn't even get you an outhouse.
Depends on where you are in California. Now, if you went like far enough up north, you'd be fine.
Okay, but
certainly not within a couple hundred miles of like the San Francisco Silicon Valley area or LA. Like, don't go LA.
No, forget it. Yeah, you could always try your luck in Blythe, California. You know, the asshole of the known universe, right there. So,
yeah, there's plenty of places you don't want to live in California where you could afford a place in Cal. Anyone can afford a place.
Blythe, yeah. California is the one place you don't want to live. So,
yeah, no thanks. We'll pass.
Get to make fun of Blythe, California. I have yet to find anybody who is going to get upset with me, because even the people in Blythe, California, was like, yeah, no, he's right. Yeah.
What are you saying? Black California? What are you
Blythe.
Saying?
Blythe. Oh. Yeah. Blythe.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. First place I was exposed to a woman with hairy armpits.
Oh. That's
yeah.
Special movie. Yeah,
I was like, 3 days ago. Like, oh, people are different here.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's true.
A lot of California now is like that, though. So.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that was me 3 days ago, so.
You wouldn't have worn a tank top, I'm sure.
No, I don't. Yeah.
Alex revealing secrets here. Now she has to show armpits, you know.
Uh-oh. There you go.
That's a Jose Galison.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Made that joke last night. He had to show armpits. Yeah. So yeah, it's going back to the parenting thing. I anyone who's willing to try the respectful parenting or peaceful parenting, they're going to get my hats off because it is so tough, especially when they're right in the middle of a fit and everything else. You know, I've seen other parents, like when I'm interacting with my children in public and everything, and I've seen some other parents is like, you just got to beat that kid. And I was like, well, that's not going to help here. It's only going to make this problem worse. And then I've got to go home and live with it for... for the rest of his life. So yeah, yes. it's not going to be a good day.
That's so true. And we say this all the time too, like we're in it for the long game. What we do makes our lives easier the older they get, because we're not actually changing the way that we relate to them. They're just maturing and we're relating to them in the same way and being empathetic about their differences. Right.
Yeah.
So, because that was like a big thing when I was pregnant. I was like, okay, so eventually I'm going to have to punish them and reward them for behaviors and blah, blah, blah. And then when they are 18, they become an adult and then we're supposed to switch our brains. Right. We're supposed to switch our brains and be like, now we treat them like an adult. And it made no sense. I was like, I didn't know how to do that. Like it just, I don't know. My brain kind of looks at things differently, I think. And so,
talk about the details, I think, in ways that other people don't.
Right. So it made more sense that I build an authentic relationship with them now and then just continue the same relationship. And the only change is that like they mature and I also mature because we never stop learning and growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we can just build that connection and grow over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely something to be said for that, because like my 12-year-old, he's a lot easier to deal with now than he was when he was six when I first got him. You know, because when we first got him, he was, you know, so PTSD'd out. It was, he would literally growl and hiss at you if you were saying to clean up your room and stuff.
He
didn't have any other way of expressing. He was like, well, I don't want to clean my room, so let me growl at you like a little dog or something. Now, I mean, he'll still fuss and everything. It's like, well, you know, you got to clean your room. You know, the other day he was, just kind of sitting out in the living room. I was like, well, buddy, why don't you go to bed in your room? And he was like, well, it's dirty in there. I was like, well, you control that. You know, it's very, very easy. If you need help cleaning your room, I'm here. You can ask me. I will come help you, you know. But it's trying to get over some of those lingering issues that, you know, that they have. And even for, you know, people out there with their own kids, you know, they're going to have those kind of problems too. They're going to, at some point they're going to think, oh, well, I can ask this adult to help me out. And guess what? They will, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Definitely.
nothing to add on
we're
that
not,
one.
We're not elaborating because that's like a big thing in the respectful community. So like one of the respectful parenting community. So one of the things that we advocate for is to only hold limits for things that you can control.
Yeah.
And you can't actually control what someone says. You can't control whether or not they clean their room. You can't, there's certain things, unless you are like physically moving their body, right? You can't control it. So I am very careful about how I use my words and the limits I put on my kids. And if I put a limit on my kid, I make sure that that limit is something I can actually control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's usually something like, I won't let you do that. And I physically will stop them and make it impossible for them to do that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like with my 4-year-old, she wants to help out and cook and everything. It's like, no, but you're not going to handle the stove. I'm going to do that. You can stand here and observe. But 4-year-olds
can cook. Actually, yes, Barbara gets...
It depends, though. I mean, it really depends on the kid. You know your child best. My 2-year-old now, he shortly after he turned 1, he really wanted to help out in the kitchen. And he can crack eggs. And I bring him over to the stove. And I showed him where it was really hot. And he's very careful about, like, stirring the pot without touching anything.
And he's even burnt himself a couple times. And I did the same with my kids, right? Where they accidentally touch the side of the pan and they cry, but they move their hand away quickly and they cry and they learn.
And I think you get to know like your kid and what they're capable of and everything, and whether or not you even want. So I think a huge thing is whether or not you can,
do you have the patience for it? Will you get frustrated if they're not stirring it quite right?
Yeah.
And if you will lose your patience, do not do it. But if you can show patience and allow them to make the mistakes, then I think that's actually a valuable learning experience for them.
Now my 1-year-old, she's a little over 1 now. She's about the age where Heron, my son, was starting to help in the kitchen, and I tried a couple times, and she's a little bit more, she wants to do her own thing, and she's interested, but I mean, she'll grab the hot thing and try and like flap it into your face. And I've tried that a couple times, and I realized that maybe I need to wait a few more months before trying to do this part of the cooking again. So it's, you know, it is different for every kid is different. And we're all different in what we're willing to tolerate too.
All kids are different and all parents are different.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I did detect a little hint of stoicism there. You can't control what others do. You can only control how you react to it. So was Marcus Aurelius an inspiration with some of this, or was that just a happenstance?
Wait, who?
Happenstance. Honestly, I have not. Marcus Aurelius.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, philosopher.
He was a Roman Caesar who kind of created Stoicism. Yeah, he was one of the Stoics.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I just learned that through respectful parenting and being able to like communicate our needs. So like, wow, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I think a lot of this is probably rooted in a lot of like historical, I mean, it all comes around eventually, right?
Yeah.
So,
So give an example.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Give an example of what Marcus Aurelius did, you know, because you're, you know, the Roman emperor, you can literally put a large boulder in the middle of a city street and just observe to see how the people move the boulder out of the way. You know, you're not going to help them. You're just going to watch and see how they do it.
Watch them do it.
I love the Stoics. It's one of those things where you try to teach the 12-year-old that. I was like, I understand you're getting upset at your video game right now, but it is a video game. Can't let it control all of you right now. If you need to take a break, take a break. But if not, I can't have you screaming the four-letter word across the house while I'm talking to somebody.
I know I do. So
my
kids, unfortunately, they do what we do.
They are little mirrors sometimes. And sometimes you see that they do something and you're just like, oh, yeah, I did that a month ago. Oops.
We can't get mad at them because they're emulating us and learning.
Yep. Very true. Very true.
Yeah, that's my big thing is if you don't want to see your child do it, don't do it yourself.
Because all we could change is ourselves.
Yeah. We only have control over ourselves.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Back to Stoicism.
Back and to there we go. I'm going to keep going back.
Dude, how did you know that? I didn't know that.
Well, I didn't really know that. I'm not even really that familiar with Marcus Aurelius. I just know.
Okay. Yeah, Barbara is the more well-read person in our family. I just kind of like, I'm an idiot. And I am. I just like live life and observe and go, I think this is the way it works. And then you're always like, there's a book about that. I'm like, really? Oh my God. I didn't know.
There's a lot of books out there.
Yeah.
Wait, no, humans that came before me figured stuff out?
Yes.
And they left this knowledge for me to learn?
These pages.
Like, you were always much better at school, too. Like, I'm dyslexic and have ADHD. And our parents never admitted that because it was, like, a big thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, school, I reject school. I hated school. Mm-hmm. And I definitely learned better through, trial and error.
I think a lot of people do.
Yeah. Hopefully you learn through trial and error. There's some folks out in this world, you know, it's like, you did this yesterday and it didn't work yesterday. Why are you doing it again? You know?
Yes. Yes. Although it's better.
I'm talking to you, voters. All right. Anyways.
Right. But yeah, so I don't know. It would be better if more people learned through books, because then you wouldn't have to keep making the same mistakes. Right.
Very true. Very true.
So I make the same mistakes.
No. Guilty as charged. Yeah. So I have frequent bouts of insomnia. So a lot of times I will be looking stuff up while I'm awake. Yeah. Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. Your husband came through in a clutch again right there. Oh. Good old Wyatt. I'm gonna have to make him the co-host going forward, because he's got stuff. He's gonna be my young Jamie. Yeah, meditations. That's the book. That's the book to read. So, yeah. So
I see Rogue is here.
Yeah, we got Rogue Liberty Pods here. Masha came back in, I guess. So
sweet.
Yeah, I've been seeing the numbers go up and down. So I don't have complete number go up technology just yet. So still working on it. But yeah, so through my little bouts of insomnia, I would just, just start looking stuff up, start reading stuff that I had lying around. And it's amazing what you keep up with. And it's like, okay, I need to find something that's going to try and bore me back to sleep. So here's this book by Marcus Aurelius. This ought to do it. And then, 400 pages in, you're like, wait, no, this is great. Let me start taking notes in the margin and start highlighting stuff. Yeah. It's a problem.
That's great. No, that's great.
So I think that's probably a good place to leave it off with tonight. Alex and Barbara, why don't you go ahead and drop all your plugs off right here, and we'll get everyone to go and check your stuff out.
Well, we have a podcast called Parenting Trap, and you can find us on YouTube and all the platforms, right? You do that?
Yep.
The platforms. Yep. Yeah. Yep. She's the one that does all that stuff. I'm trying to start a company, but I don't know. I haven't been plugging it lately because I just need help with it, and I'm ready to quit. So
you ready to quit at any moment?
Yes, 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 yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll just plug the podcast for right now.
Yeah, Parenting Trap. You can find us on all the podcatchers and YouTube. And you can always email us at questions@parentingtrap.com. If you ever have a specific parenting question or just curious to reach out, don't hesitate. We're out here. So.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
That's now you did it, because now I have your email address. So be ready.
All right. We're ready.
Nice.
Awesome. We welcome
All right, Alex and Deborah, thanks for playing along. Glad you guys came on.
Thanks.
We'll see you around the timeline. Okay.
All right.
Hi.
All right, folks, and there they go. Once I get the show notes updated, all that stuff will be down at the bottom. Anyways, you guys can check out also what I am doing. I have ended the Patreon, Subscribestar, and prepaid stuff due to lack of interest, basically. I'm just not quite ready to monetize just yet, so I'll just throw all the different little locations where you can find the show at as well if you're not watching it live. So anyways, guys, take it easy. We'll come at you next time with a brand new episode of Ripple with a Cause. Out.